Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney, and this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this movie for you, so make sure you've already watched it. Guys, welcome to the third episode of Second Breakfast.
You're so weird. This episode is all about the Battle of Five Armies.
I was about to be like, yum. I don't know why.
I think you're still thinking about breakfast.
Battle of Five Armies, yum.
Thinking too much about breakfast.
Oh my gosh. This is a pretty intense movie. Lots of fighting, lots of debate.
Yeah.
And robbery.
Robbery. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Speaking of Second Breakfast, before we move on, we are actually doing our Hobbit Day on Memorial Day. Yay. So if you are like us and your Memorial Day plans are very, very, very different this year because of the pandemic, yep. You can follow along on Instagram, the_happy_hipsters.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram,
I like it when
we will
that.
Be posting all day.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, 12 meals in a Hobbit day? Like, it's something ridiculous.
And we are doing it all.
We have it timed out. We have it timed out. We have to start at 7.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting up to do this. it is planned. So, you can follow us. It's going to be great. We're going to be posting about it. So, it's going to be a good time. And if you want to join along, that would be great, too. We would love that. Send us pictures of your food.
Yeah.
We're food Instagrammers. We don't mind looking at people's food on Instagram.
We love food. We love. Fun fact, actually, this year is my 33rd, I'm having my 33rd birthday in December. And I'm becoming a Hobbit adult.
Yes. Hobbit adult birthday.
So I'm thinking of maybe adding that, and then I'm going to add some, add some
wait,
pipes
for your birthday? That's what you want to do?
I'm going to learn from this, from Hobbit Day,
and
just incorporate that into my birthday. You know?
Oh, man.
I like it.
Wow,
I like
man.
It a lot.
Okay, let's dive into this movie. I have the perfect summary for this movie.
The perfect summary.
Are you ready for my summary?
Yeah.
Five armies fight.
Yay!
That's my summary.
That's a good one.
And Bilbo goes home.
And Bilbo goes home.
That's
five
my summary.
Five armies fight, Bilbo goes home.
I'm like, the Battle of Five Armies. Like, that summarizes it all.
Right.
Like, that's it right there.
It's the Battle
there.
Of Five Armies.
That's it. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go right into rating this movie.
Okay.
So, if you have listened to us before, then you know that we rate on a 5-star policy.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie can get a full star, up to a full star for scripting and storyline,
mm-hmm.
for acting,
mm-hmm.
cinematography, essence of the book,
mm-hmm.
and X Factor.
Yeah.
So then Shalom and I both score it and we average it, and that is the score that this movie gets.
Yay.
So, Shalom, what would you give for scripting and storyline?
Scripting and storyline, I would give it half. And the reason being, it's still nowhere close to the book. And I still think the book is better, in comparison. I think if I had never read the book before, maybe I would have given it a higher score.
Mm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But because the book exists, I know what's in the book, I think the book is better. Has a better storyline, mm-hmm. better script. Yeah. I think they should have gone with that to get a higher score in my books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for scripting and storyline, I would say that I give this movie 3/4.
Mm.
When I look at it, I think the script makes sense. I don't look at it and think anything looks forced or anything like that. Like, everything feels pretty normal.
Okay.
I took off a 1/4 star because I felt like it was long. Like, I just felt like they dragged some stuff out.
I agree with that.
I mean, there are some moments that I think they really brought to life, but there's a lot that I was kind of like, okay. Okay, this is getting lengthy.
Yeah.
I think overall, looking at this trilogy, it just feels lengthy to me.
Do you think part of it has to do with the fact that they you know, I mean, Gandalf is in jail at the beginning of this movie.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of, oh no, Thor's stuck in a cage. No. Every time.
And I think that I really struggled with that, to be honest. Like, I struggled with...
You don't like when they go to Ra's al Ghul, as I like to call it.
They just added too much, you know?
I like that part.
You
have no power here? I love Galadriel. I'm like, yeah!
But that's Gandalf's line, you know? Like, Gandalf is really... Gandalf has the copyrights on that word. That wording.
I think that's their magic. Like, I think their magic is banishing. Like, I think... I don't think it's a Gandalf thing. I think it's a magic thing. Like, that's
really true. Like, you actually said something pretty deep there. Because when you look at how... the Vala, like the gods of this world, of that world, how they treated like an evil, like Morgoth was Sauron's boss. He was finally captured and defeated. They banished him into the darkness. The elves were naughty and they were kind of banished. So it's like there's this concept of rather than
they're
so that's a good point.
They're into like it's different than Harry Potter magic.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Harry Potter magic's like, it's in you. Whereas, like, this one, it's like they have incantations and things. Like, they have to conjure the magic, and the magic does something.
I hear that.
So, it's like the light. Like, that does something, or this does something. But, anyway, I think that's the magic.
I hear that. Mm-hmm.
But back to, like, what I was saying right before that is I think that because I do know the books, I feel like the movies feel so drawn out. So it's like, it just feels long. Like, everything just feels super long. Besides the first movie. The first movie is the only one that doesn't feel long because it doesn't really feel, like, dragged out or anything like that.
Right. Okay.
So what would you give acting?
Acting. I always give acting one. I feel like all the actors did a phenomenal job, a good job. This movie is less of the depth. I mean, not that the other movies have too much depth in them, but this one is more action and confrontation. And, you know, I feel like the character Thorin was really portrayed really well. Disagree with the storyline for Thorin there, but I think that he did a great job. The actor did a great job with what he was given. And so I'll give it a 100%.
Yeah, I give it a 1 as well for all the same reasons. I think that they are phenomenal at casting.
Yes, absolutely.
I really, really like that.
Absolutely.
Cinematography.
Oh, I give cinematography 1. Oh my gosh. Okay. Beyond. Dropping from the sky,
my gosh,
off the top of an eagle, right, and turning into a bear,
mid-air,
and then lands and just like kicks butt, you know.
That was insane.
I loved it. I wish they'd done more with it. I'll touch on that a little bit later, but I loved it. Thorin, the rams.
I was like, where were those fun rams before?
Right, is it? Give us some rams. Like, where were the?
Stop riding ponies, ride rams.
Where did the rams come from?
I love them.
Okay, but
and the little piggy. Rams. Remember the little piggy?
They were like with other guys.
This is the movie of like the animals. Like we have the elk thing. We've got the little piggy. We got the rams. Like everyone's riding like weird things.
Yeah, everyone's like right, like obscure. There's almost like an obscure kind of vibe to this.
I love it,
and I think they did a great job in like just portraying that. The whole scene of Smaug attacking Lake Town, that I thought that was beautifully portrayed. I thought that, you know, ridiculousness, the whole like, you know, arrow thing, like having his son, you know, be the kind of the use his shoulders as the
he's like steadying the air,
and I thought I was like, okay, I don't know what you guys are coming up with stuff, but I thought that. They did a great job. They just did a great job with the cinematography. You know, we could disagree with the storyline, But I think that when you look at it, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually, the past two, I've given 3/4 for cinematography because I really don't like the CGI of the orcs. But I had to give this one 1. Like, I had to. Like, it was just so incredibly gorgeous to watch. Like, it's so beautiful. And the CGI is so good. They have so many elements that are CGI'd in this. Mm-hmm. And it's just overall phenomenal to look at. Like, they really, I think they broke some, like, barriers with CGI that I just think it's incredible. So I did give it 1 star.
That's cool.
What did you give for Essence?
So Essence, I gave 1/4. Still, they BS through this whole series for me. You know, that's what they did. They completely went away from what the book is really about, to be honest. They wanted to give the whole story a little bit more purpose, to make it, you know, like to make it more dramatized. And in the course of doing that, I think they kind of mispointed, you know, some of the motives of why are the orcs freaking out? Why are they angry? Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with like this whole like deep, like the, you know, he did this at that time, and then he cut his hand, and then he was hunting them down. There's nothing to do with that. It's basically that they killed the Goblin King, you know, in the book. They killed the Goblin King. They're angry. You know, the wolves are smarter in the book, so they're more, there's an alliance. It's like an alliance of wolves and goblins. And I feel like there's also kind of like a goofiness to the story as well that you still miss. You still miss that a little bit, you know. And I thought that was kind of like, that's something that I will always point out and be like, you know, it wasn't meant to simmer as much as it did. You know, they made these moments like Thorin be having dragon sickness. I do not remember like dragon sickness in the book. I don't remember it at all. So it's based, yes, there was an obsession that the dwarves had with gold and with minerals. But, and also there was a hatred between, there's a hatred between dwarves and elves. Maybe not a hatred, but a distrust, a dislike, a disdain, you know, something this kind of like, it's they can work together sometimes, but they actually distrust each other because of just a history that is also based on jewelry, you know, like, because, you know, the dwarves murdered, you know, one of the great elven kings in order to get a Silmaril. And so it's kind of like there's this bitterness that's there. And they, and then dwarves have their own version that they kind of like are like, oh, you robbed us, you did this, and there's that depth. But those things are there in the book, but I feel like they didn't touch on those things. They didn't touch on those deep things that are in the book, this history. There's this, you know, when J.R. Tolkien wrote the Silmarils, he was kind of giving us this background story, this prequel experience that kind of explains even moments where, like, tensions between in this book, but we're gonna dive into Lord of the Rings. You understand, you know, Gimli and Legolas, you understand that relationship a bit more, the tensions that were there between the two of them. So you get to understand Gandalf, you get to understand a whole lot more. And so that's just something that I feel like these guys tossed, the writers, the producers, they tossed that, not a little bit, they really tossed that out the window. I get that in Lord of the Rings, we're going to dive into that, and I'll just give a drop of my thoughts. I get that in Lord of the Rings, they took away some things, but not too much to make it kind of lose the essence as much. But in this series, they added a whole lot more stuff. And so it's kind of like that stuff then created almost a totally different storyline and a different feel to what the book is about.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm. I gave 1/2.
You're coming to my side a little bit.
I was like, I don't even know what to add there because that was a lot of lore and books. So I give it half. I just feel like it was one of, again, I feel like the second and the third movie of The Hobbit, just they just feel long. Mm. Not that they're not necessarily enjoyable. I find them very enjoyable. I think they have a lot of parts that are very enjoyable.
Yeah.
But as far as essence of the books, like it, what you said, like they added a lot because there are moments where it's like Gandalf disappears. They just want to show us where Gandalf was, which is cool. And I like seeing that. But it does kind of take away from things a little bit. Like the whole dragon sickness, as you said, was pretty much made up. They don't talk about that at all. So I think it's just one of those things where I feel like they kind of moved away. It's interesting. Like they move away, but then they do scenes almost verbatim to the book. It's pretty wild. Like the last scene when Bilbo comes back and he's like talking to his relatives, like that's almost verbatim from the book.
Yes. And even the interaction with Gandalf a bit, it's almost like coming back a little bit to that. I felt like that was, you know, pretty accurate.
Oh, and then one of the moments that I love to hate is when when Legolas is saying goodbye to his dad and he's like going to look for Aragorn.
Your mother.
And he's like, your mother loved you. Oh, and I'm like, Lord. Okay. And then he's like, and then Thranduil's like, he's like, you need to find this man. They call him, what do they call him again?
Strider.
Strider, that's what it is. I was going to call him Striker. They call him Strider. And he's like, what is his real name? He's like, you have to find that out for yourself. And I'm like, what is this? What is that?
Busy cooking stuff up.
Like, I don't mind. It's not enough because some parts, like, I like because you're like, oh, why was Legolas looking for this person? Like, why was this happening? Why was that happening? Like, I don't mind that too much. Like, I even like the little connection between, like, Legolas could have met Gimli's dad possibly when they were at Mirkwood. Like, I like those, like, kind of, like, fan, like, thinking about things. Like, these people would have been in the same place at the same time. So it's like, I don't mind that much. I wouldn't take away from script for stuff like that. But as far as, like, essence go, I'm like, we're being silly now.
Yeah. They overdid it. They overdid it. They, like, they definitely... That's just my judgment of the whole series, to be honest. It's they definitely overplayed their hand there creatively. And I feel... I mean, a lot of... Rotten Tomatoes disagrees with us when it comes to fans. I think we're pretty close with critics on this movie. But I don't even know how accurate that is, but the, like, Rotten Tomatoes there. But I definitely feel like they missed the mark. When I speak to Tolkien heads, I know that they don't even want to talk about that one. I mean, they already struggled with Lord of the Rings, which I don't get the Lord of the Rings one, and we'll discuss that. But this one, like Hobbit, really, they walked off the edge with this one. And fans, you know, Tolkien heads really struggled with that
one. So what would you give X Factor then?
X Factor, I give it a quarter.
Why?
A quarter. I'll probably never want to watch... the series again. I do love the beauty of the cinematography. I felt like that's beautiful. I think that's what happens to me. I'm like, you know what? I want to see what the dwarves were like again. I want to see like the elves. I want to see this. Like, is this imagery thing? Because I'm going through Silmarillion again, and my mind, I use my imagination to picture stuff, but I kind of like seeing things. So for me, it does have that impact on me where I'm like, I want to see what.
And they depict it so beautifully, you know? Too. Like, I think that when it comes to costuming, character design, makeup, like all of that, like, I just think that sets, like the sets themselves are like freaking gorgeous.
I think you said sex, and I was like,
no, sex.
I was like, where?
S-E-T. I know. T, Shalom. So I just think that they were, like, so mindful in a lot of those, and they depicted them so beautifully, more beautiful than I can imagine. And the dwarves are, like, they give them so much character. Like, I just really love, I really do love There's parts that I absolutely love. It's almost like I will watch scenes and kind of like fast forward to get to the end a little bit in some spots.
I want to see the beauty.
I give X Factor half. I think this is an okay movie. But again, I just feel like it's long. I just feel like it's long for me. It's just kind of like, it almost feels like you're just going along to get to Lord of the Rings. Because I think I enjoy the Lord of the Rings movies a little bit more.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
So, overall, I gave this movie a 3.75 stars. Shalom gave it 3. So, this movie gets 3.4.
3.4.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So, I don't have that many questions before we hit the hot take, but something that I thought kind of took over a lot of this movie was just, like, the disintegration of Thorin's character and going back on his word to Lake Town. So, like, what did you think about that? Like, they talk about dragon sickness. Like, I guess one of my questions was, like, this wasn't in the book, so, like, we don't really know because there's no author to, like, tell us.
Right.
But, like, do you think the dragon sickness is, like, literal or do you think it's metaphorical?
Well, I think one of the things you see a lot in dwarf and elf and men, the history, there's a lot of, like, kind of greed and there are moments of, like, kind of temporary madness, so to speak. Like,
yeah, he's definitely going crazy.
Right. Like, and so... you see that a lot when it comes to like riches and treasure and and so I feel like Tolkien really focuses on that a lot. I mean, Lord of the Rings, that's a ring, you know, and so there's something about you know these you know fancy creations that drives these people mad. So I do understand that concept of almost like a sickness, a sense of losing yourself because you've seen something beautiful and you want it. And you want it so much that nothing else matters in that moment. But to be honest, I think that they could have just embraced that lore and about how riches have always ensnared and divided the people of Middle-earth. Instead of giving it a name. There's a deeper lore to it. There's a deeper story to it. Even the division between they call them the Noldor, like that came from Valinor, where the gods live. Because there were elves that lived in, you know, they all lived in Valinor. And then some elves still lived on in Middle Earth, but the Noldor who lived with the gods left Valinor because they wanted to get back a necklace. Like, it's called the Silmaril, so it's almost like a necklace, but it had like this magical light, right? And they wanted that back. So the whole world of Tolkien is just so chock full of obsession over jewelry. It's kind of weird, all right?
Like, it's like everyone loves jewelry.
Like when in moments where when there was like, you know, one guy saved another guy and then he gave him a ring. And like, here's a ring. It's a ring. This means you're powerful. You're a lord in my house. And so there's this, the way they treat jewelry or, you know, the works that like things that they make with their hands, they value it so much. It's so important to them. And so even swords, like even like anything they make with their hands, there's this almost like obsession with it. But jewelry is like it's almost like a special type of spiritual, emotional connection to it. And so you can see why, you know, Thorin in that moment can almost have a moment of temporary madness, right? He's just gotten his stuff back. He's in Erebor. He's like checking out his gold and diamond. And then these punks are standing at the gate with their knives and stuff like that. And they're like, hey, let's talk. You know, obviously, like, with when you consider the lore and you consider what has happened and the history of elves and dwarves, you realize that I can understand why Thorin almost like tensed up a little bit, and I'll touch on that.
I was gonna say, don't go too far, Shalom. Yeah. You're gonna hit your hot tea. Yeah. Don't go too far, Shalom. So, when I think about it, I actually really like the visual representation of Thorin's like disintegration, kind of like he falls apart in this. Does. But the one thing that I really, really like about this story is it is the aftermath of actions. And I don't think that we always get to see that, because part of me wants to be like, I want this story to end after they get the jewel, after they get the Arkenstone. Like, that was the goal. Like, let's just end it there.
Right.
But what I like about this story is that Tolkien goes farther than that. And he's like, no, they awoke this dragon. This dragon went and, you know, fought this town and like killed all these people. And now these people are displaced because they can't live there anymore. And now they need a new home. And Thorin woke that dragon and he needs to deal with that consequence. You know, like if he didn't go there, then this dragon never would have killed all those people and like burnt down that town.
Right.
So I like that there are like direct consequences to a quest, because sometimes I think we can almost glorify a quest, I guess, like over glorify it. Like you're sitting there and you're like praising, you're like, wow, that person went on a quest. But it's like, at what cost, though? Because everything has a cost. Like everything has a cost. And part of the cost also was the obsession with this Arkenstone, and he gets there. And he goes a little crazy. I do think that maybe they, emphasized it a little bit more. A, for the drama of it, because they got to do all those cool things. Like he says things almost identical to Smaug,
right?
Which I kind of like. I like that mirroring, because I think it does lean into the themes that you were talking about of greed, of like where you can see like, oh my gosh, Thorin is the monster. Like now Thorin's the monster, and this is someone who we've been cheering for the whole time, this entire saga. We've been cheering for this guy to get back to his home and claim it again, and now he's the monster. So I do like that, because I think you do get that redeeming moment where Thorin looks at himself in the gold floor and he sees the monster that he's become. And that, you know, there are all these people dying outside, including his cousin. Like his cousin almost dies, and who came to aid him, and he's sitting there holed away, you know, protected due to his actions. All of this stuff is happening. So I think we get that nice turnaround moment where he does head out and he's like, okay, I'm going to take down the lead orc.
I hear that.
So there are things that I like about it, but there's also things where I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. I see that. I see that perspective, and I can see that meeting where they're discussing and they're like, let's take in this direction. So I can see them being lured in that direction. There's definitely a lack of respect, I think, for the book there. I feel pretty strongly about that. When it comes to this movie, they could have really touched on some really deep stuff about Middle Earth, about
wanted to be the whatever that book's called, Silmarillion.
No, it's not even about Silmarillion. Like, I mean, okay, you know what? It is about Silmarillion. it is about because it's lore is lore. You know what I mean? Like when it's like, hey, here's why things are the way they are. You have to follow that path. Like in my mind, you have to do that. That's why I'm intense about. I mean, I kind of talked about, you know, J.K. Rowling and her time travel, right? And I freaked out about that, you know, because I'm pretty, you know, intense when it comes to stuff like that, where it's like there are ground rules, and I feel like when a writer goes like, I'm gonna put in the work to create, to say, hey, here's this world, here's how this world was created, the importance of minerals, the importance of music, the importance of you know, why is Gandalf just popping around, all like, you know, what's going on and what's the importance of all of this. And I feel like Silmarillion sets the foundation for that, like almost like, I mean, he wrote Silmarillion a bit later, but in my mind I like to think that he had all those pieces as he was writing. And so I would imagine that if I was making a movie, I would pretty much want to stick as close as possible to Silmarillion and to kind of reasons and motives. And yeah, and I just don't see that in this movie.
I can see that. Just to switch topics a little bit, we had kind of like touched on it a little bit, but the whole scene with like Galadriel, what's their actual group called?
The White Council.
The White Council.
Yeah.
Their little group.
The little gang.
I'm going to name us too. Our gang is called
the Happy Hipsters.
The Purple Council.
The Hipster Council.
The Hipster Council. So the White Council, you know, goes to save Gandalf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess, what's his name? Radagast isn't, he's not part of the White Council. But no. He was there. He's helping.
He wasn't in the fight.
He wasn't in the fight, though. He was just there to pick up Gandalf.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how strong Galadriel is? Like, she's freaking jacked. Like, when she's carrying him around, I'm like, are you kidding me? This is insane.
I thought that was pretty impressive. Yeah, you know, there's no record, as far as I know, with the books that I've read. I don't know any record of what happens there. So I can never really...
Well, what does Gandalf say when he's talking to Bilbo?
No, he just said, like, you know, he investigated. He investigated what had happened and what was going on. And he realized that there was something nefarious going on. And then the White Council went and they came together butt. And they chased the necromancer away. And I think in Lord of the Rings, they suspected it was. They knew it was.
Yeah.
It was Sauron. But what happened was Saruman convinced everyone that he wasn't powerful enough. He was gone. He was done for. And he would never really be a problem.
That's
and
what they said about Voldemort.
But that's what they said about Voldemort. But, you know. But Voldemort had his Horcruxes, just like, you know, Sauron has his ring.
I have to say, this movie makes me a little emotional just because I know how much Christopher Lee loved his character of Saruman. And they actually, that scene was supposed to be filmed in New Zealand, and they actually filmed it in England.
Wow.
Because he was like 92 or something like that in that scene.
Wow.
Like, so obviously that's like a stunt double most of the time, but like the speaking parts are him. And they filmed specifically there for him so that he could be in the movie because he was a huge Tolkien head. Like,
yeah.
So much so that he was the first actor cast in Lord of the Rings. And they would often reference him because of his great knowledge of Lord of the Rings. Which, like, it makes me so happy to know that there are, like, actors and people in these movies who just, like, absolutely, like, love it. You know?
That's awesome. That's awesome. Like, it's really cool when you see, like, people who are acting the movie, you know, having that level of love for Tolkien's work. I thought that's cool.
Yeah. So, I love seeing him in there. I'm the opposite of you because I really like this scene. I like seeing, you know, this is where we are in the grand scheme of things and like kind of where they miss out a little bit, you know, where we do talk about like Saruman is already kind of like, you know, wheeling and dealing over here where he's like, oh no, like it's no problem because he has plans to try to use the ring for himself, you know?
Right, yeah.
So I like that. I like that a lot. Also, anytime I get to see Galadriel is a good day for me because I just think she's freaking baller and she's awesome. And I love seeing her. So I'm totally okay with that. And I love that she, you know, she banishes him. She's so strong.
She's powerful.
She's like the strongest.
Yeah.
She's like the strongest one.
Yeah. Because she was part of the group that came from Valinor. And so she's old.
Yeah, she's like
very old.
The freaking oldest one.
Sort of. I mean, all Gandalf, you know, Olorin, like, is a Maia, so he's pretty up there.
Wait, I thought his name was Mithrandir.
Okay, so Mithrandir, you know, one of, I looked it up, and one of the sites said something about Grey Wanderer, but the name that...
The Wanderer?
It's a Wanderer.
It's just like the Skeksis.
He's a Skeksis.
No, that was the... That's Ergo's name was the Wanderer.
Yeah, wait. So yeah, right, you're right. Ergo the Wanderer, and then the other one is a Conqueror.
Yeah, then the other one's Conqueror. Oh, okay. All guys, right. I'm sorry if you can hear Zimmy a lot in this episode. She is really mad that we're recording today. She's just whining and whining.
She's whining. But Gandalf, so Gandalf's, you know, name, the one that he's known with originally is Olwen. There's another name, but it's not that, you know, widely used. But Olwen is the name that, you know, that... as a Maia, Gandalf, when he came to Middle-earth, that he was known with. And then Gandalf kind of... Mm. Mithrandir is also one of the names. So, mm-hmm. like... But it's more of a term. And so that... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we should go into your hot take now, because I have one other question, but I think it's going to be too close to your hot take. So I think it's going to come up when we talk about the hot take.
Okay.
So, are you ready?
My hot take. So I'm setting up the timer.
Here we go. Shalom has 60 seconds
to
give his hot take, and then I'm going to fight him.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1, go. I think that Thorin was right. Like, the elves and... Bard and Gandalf, they should not have posted outside of Erebor. That was ridiculous. You don't go to someone's house, right, with an army and say, hey, let's make a deal. They should have just sent an emissary of 3 people, no weapons, and say, hello, congratulations, you got your home back, right? Can we, like, how about, like, the thing that we discussed? How about... The thing that we discussed about you paying us back. But instead, they bring the elves with them. With all the tensions that are there, they brought the elves with them. And I thought that was a dumb move, and it caused unnecessary tension. That's the end of my TED Talk. Thank you.
Your TED Talk. Did your timer go off?
Yeah.
So what I would say to that is Bard does go ahead by himself. Without the elves there.
I mean, they were posted, like, close
enough.
Yeah,
but that's not his fault.
Close enough. They should not have come. They should have stayed at Lake Town.
So you're mostly annoyed. Are you mostly annoyed at Bard, or are you mostly annoyed at the elves?
I'm most annoyed with the whole situation, to be honest. Like, it's like, okay, have everyone chill. You don't post an army even close to someone's place and say, hey, how about the thing you promised me? You've already made a challenge. So, like, Thorin has a legitimate concern where he's like, wait, you guys are chilling outside my gates with knives and spears, and you're here and you're going like, hey, how about the deal we made? You're basically threatening me, right? And was he wrong? No, he wasn't, because they were like, okay, so we'll go to war. So it's like they made the situation bad, in all honesty. And both elves, dwarves, in the history of elves and dwarves, they both have made dumb decisions, and they've made bad decisions. And I think in this situation, I think that the elves, Bard, and company, they are the ones who aggravated the situation.
I definitely don't agree with you. I did, like, I was going to agree, but I don't. I just think... So, okay, here's my thing. I don't think the elves should have shown up. I think that was pretty rude. Like, mm-hmm. come on.
Right.
You didn't have to bring a whole army. Right. Like, right. You just calm down.
Right.
But I think that the humans have a straight claim. Like, I think they have a straight claim because, first of all, they let the dwarves in to mm-hmm. into Lake Town. And mm-hmm. they gave them food, and they gave them shelter, and they helped mm-hmm. them out. Like,
yes.
Like, Keely literally gets healed.
Right.
In Bard's house.
Right.
So it's like... It's like they definitely are, like, owed something. They're and the dragon owed. Went straight to Lake Town
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. they were taken care of there mm-hmm. because Bilbo slips up on what he tells the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of like, okay, you should have given the humans some money. Like,
absolutely.
Something just to get them like started. Like,
I agree with that.
And these are going to be your neighbors. Mm-hmm. Like, these people are going to be your neighbors no matter what.
I agree with
the
that.
The Mirkwood Elves, though, I'm kind of like, come on, guys. Like, you're letting something. Well, also, I guess we also do have to remember that, like, they are technically escaped prisoners from the elves.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, in the book, they spend a much longer time in
the prison. Yeah, they're there for like a month.
Right.
In the prison before Bilbo gets them out.
Right. And so it's kind of like, I get the fact that he's kind of like, why are you guys here? Why are you here with your swords and your spears? You know?
Yeah.
And I, at the same time, was Thorin in a state of madness? I really think so.
Yeah.
I probably would be if I just like got him back home. I'm checking out my gold. I'm checking out my stuff.
My gold.
And then these peeps are chilling outside my gate with swords and spears. I'll be a little crazy.
And there's like 12 of you in there.
And there's like 13? 12 of you, right. 12, 13 of us.
So what do you think about Bilbo's plan then? How he like actually had the Arkenstone and he doesn't give it. And instead he uses it so that Bard has a bargaining chip.
I mean, he was wrong. That didn't help the situation at all because, you know, Thorin had his cousin coming through. And then
his cousin
showed like, I would like to say one thing. Would you sod off? I'm like, yeah.
When he comes in on his
dad, don't mess with them.
When he comes down on his little piggy, I'm like, yes, 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 yes.
I just had to think of Brave.
And then we have to watch Brave.
Right.
And then we start singing, Mordu. Yeah. Every time, the hard thing about these movies is that then they send us on like a movie, like we get sent on a movie spiral because we have to watch Beauty and the Beast because Bard is Gaston and we have to watch Dane is what's his name? Fergus. From Brave?
Yes. Yes.
We have to watch that. And then on top of that, Bilbo is also in
everything.
Everything. But
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Black Panther.
But mostly then we want to watch Black Panther.
Right.
So now we're going a whole movie spiral.
Right.
Bilbo's plan, I feel like, was not a good one. I don't know. But I'm also more cowardly than Bilbo. I'm like, just give him the freaking rock. Like, just give it to him. Mm-hmm. Like, just give him his shiny rock and run away. Like,
yeah, just give him his stuff and run away and chill. I think he didn't want war. He wanted to save his friends. He felt like they were going to get killed. And he was like, let me give the other guys a bargaining chip so that Thorin can be more reasonable. And
I love the part when Gandalf is like, he's like, give me back my burglar. Don't damage him. And then Bilbo's like scurrying down the wall. I'm like, go Bilbo.
We have been betrayed. Thorin, he's such a good actor and he did a great job there. And and I felt like that was a nice, intense moment. And then, you know, after the Dane and his army show up, then you have the goblins pop out of the ground. It's like, wow.
Those worm things they brought, I was like, no, get that out of here.
Oh, my gosh.
Can we? Okay, this is something I meant to mention earlier, but I forgot. elves kill me. Like, elves are such jerks. Like, I love them, and I identify as an elf because I know that I, too, am a jerk a lot of the time. But the part when the dwarves go to fight the orcs when they first come out. And then if you watch the scene when like the elves come, you like cheer. You're like, yeah, the elves are coming because they're like jumping over the little like barrier. Yeah. But they're stepping on the dwarves' heads.
Right.
As they're jumping over. Like, I'm like, you're being a jerk. But that's the second time now.
I thought that was a cool fighting move though. Like, I was like, that's kind of cool. Like,
yeah. Would it be cool if you're the dwarf who's like holding the line and an elf is smooshing your head?
I hear that. But then at least
the elves
are putting themselves right up front.
No, I don't disagree with that, but I'm also like, I think they were kind of being jerks on the way over.
Yeah, I think the elves fight really gracefully, and I like their vibe. I love the dwarves as well. Like, I love just how, like, you know, like the use of axes and stuff like that, like, was really cool. And Thorin is just awesome to watch when they bust out of the gates.
Oh my gosh,
that was really beautiful. I thought that was like,
I like
really
when
well
he's
done.
On the ram.
On the ram,
that's
I thought
my
that was really
part.
Cool as well. But to be honest with you, one of my favorite things is Beyond. Like Beyond.
Yeah,
for me,
when he gets dropped down, it's like, stop.
Right, for me, he's the Tom Bombadil of this book. Of, you know,
yeah,
and because he in the book, I think he kills the, you know, the goblin leader. He's the one who kills him, mm-hmm. I think. And so, because Beyond is that power. Actually, the eagles showed up first, and they thought they were still going to lose. But when Beyond showed up, that's when the tide turned.
Well, yeah, he's
just
crazy
that
strong.
He's like just a big, massive, not just, even, I don't even think the book represented Beyond, like, Beyond well. Like,
he's Mordu.
He's massive. He's more.
He's Mordu. I hope you guys are Brave fans. There's a lot of Brave references right now.
I just want to ride on my horse into the waves.
Shlomo's favorite line.
But I feel like, you know, he's one of my favorite characters. You know, Beyond, Tom Bombadil. I just characters that I just enjoy. I just love that they're in the outskirts and but they're like enough. They're big enough to, like, you know, they could kill everyone, but they decide to step out. And I kind of like the outskirt kind of vibe. I like that. It's really cool.
That's because you wish you were an outskirt person.
Oh yeah. I just want to live by lake and have, you know, whiskey and steak.
Shalom's dream is like, to live in the middle of nowhere and no one will ever be there. And I'm like, do you want me to die? Do you literally want me to die? Because that sounds like a nightmare to me. And I'm not even like an extroverted person, but like, if I don't have contact with like some people, I will murder myself.
But not every day though. Like, you can drive, you know, to a city.
I don't
or
like
some...
driving places. No, I need my friends nearby. So they can come over and we can watch movies and we can hang out, have girls' night, some wine
and chill. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear
you. Do you though?
We will, I feel like we he will doesn't. Continue this discussion for the next 20 years.
Like the rest of our lives.
Like the rest of our lives.
We'll do this for the rest of our lives, probably.
Oh my gosh. All right, so we are going to wrap this up.
Yes, we are. Thank you so much for joining us on another nerdy adventure. Don't forget Memorial Day. We are going to be on Instagram basically all day because hobbits literally eat all day. We'll be posting our plan and checking it off as we eat the things.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be so much fun.
And it's like, we're doing like Hobbit style. Like, it's not going to be like, I mean, it's some of it's going to be like modern food, but like,
yes,
we're going as authentic as we can,
as
our budget can handle.
Our budget, yeah.
As authentic as our budget can handle.
Quarantine style.
Yeah, quarantine style. Also, I was, originally when I had cooked up this idea, it was pre-COVID-19, so things like you could like get yeast, like you can't buy yeast now, like you can't even do that. So I was gonna make breads and stuff like that, but that's not gonna happen.
Yeah,
so I will be baking like crazy then.
Like crazy.
It's gonna be super fun.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it's gonna be so good.
I'm actually a little nervous. It seems like a lot of food. I don't know if I can handle it.
We eat in little bits, so like I'll take care of the big load. I've been eating pretty good the last week. No, haven't had any alcohol for like a week. Like, I feel great.
We're getting ready.
I feel ready for this.
We're ready. Awesome. So
cool.
Next week, we're moving on to Lord of the Rings.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Fellowship of the Ring.
Movies.
Get excited.
I'm so excited. Oh, my gosh. So, thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.
Yay.